Thanks for your word, the preservation of your word, and the presentation of it to us today. Lord, we set ourselves ready to hear what the Spirit is going to speak to us. And we allow that place in our heart for the word of God to be planted so fruit can be produced that will help in the expansion of your kingdom. And Lord, we're also prepared, Lord, that if you put your finger on something today in our lives that you want corrected, we're quick to respond to that, Lord. Not ashamed to respond, quick to respond to that, Lord. Quick to repent, Lord. Quick to invite the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to continue to allow Jesus and the grace of God to grow in our lives. So we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the primary form by which God conveys his message, even though he uses supernatural things, I still believe in that God still uses angels today. I believe they're there. I believe they're ministering. I've not personally seen one, but the book tells me they're there and they're ministering to us. Amen. I imagine they guide us in a lot of ways that we don't know and prevent certain things from transpiring. I'm thankful for that. But the message was not the responsibility of carrying the message to the world was not charged to the angels. As much as dreams and visions are a part, you know, as Scripture says, when they were filled with the Spirit, you know, there'd be dreams and visions which would come forth. And I like that. Now Suzanne doesn't like dreaming. She wants to go to sleep and like nothing happened. To me, it's like an all-night picture show. I wake up. Boy, I'm, you know, do I remember everything? No, thank God, probably not. But dreams and visions have been given to people, but it was not charged to the manifestation or dream or visions to convey the gospel to human beings. Now, they have their place. The angelic have their place in dreams and visions. The supernatural has its place. The audible voice of God has its place. Actually, Jesus himself has been seen. I don't know if you know some of the things transpiring in the Muslim world, but thousands of people have said in Muslim countries, in very far away places where there's no gospel getting to them, that there's an appearance of a man, and this wasn't any ordinary man, and there would be thousands of these reports. And some began to get sketches of what this man looked like, talking to these individuals, or what this person looked like. And strangely, maybe not so strangely, but strangely enough, there was a commonness in all of their descriptions. And so they made a drawing of what was said by these individuals, hundreds and hundreds of people, and they put them up on posters and started planting them all over in different parts of the Muslim world. If you have seen this man, contact this phone number. If you've seen this man, and it was all over the place, all over many places. And sure enough, people would come and they'd call that number and they'd say, "Hey, I saw this man. Tell me who he is." So it's not even given to the Lord himself to appear as the primary charge of whose responsibility it is to deliver the message. It still required a human being to minister that gospel to another human being. You see my point in that. All of those are working with us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so because of that, with all the trouble we have in the world caused from Islamic part of the world, Jesus is moving in that part of the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so, you know, you're not going to get that on the news, but these reports have come back and come through different avenues I have of gathering that news. And so I just found, if you've seen this man, call this number. And the first thing they would say, "Who is he? Tell me who he is." And then the gospel was presented to him, and people would get saved. Hallelujah. Amen? But that's not the primary way. The primary way has always been someone who has received Jesus positioned before someone else, either a group or an individual, and them sharing either their testimony or preaching the gospel, as one place in Scripture says, and he preached about Jesus to him. Amen? That is the message. That is the message. We should all know that message. We should all be able to, in a simplistic form, be able to convey our faith about the person of Jesus Christ to another human being. It is when you and I gave our life to the Lord and we became Christians, this was one of the things that was added to our responsibilities as being believers, is to share our faith with other people. Amen? And that could be done in a lot of various forms. But I just wanted to give you a few instances today, like in Acts chapter 8. And you'll remember this story. It's a long piece of Scripture, so save some time. Let me just kind of go through some of the highlights of that. This is Philip, and an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So there's the angel, amen, and said to him, arise and go to the south out of Jerusalem into Gaza. And so he went down there, and you know, because you know the Scriptures, it says that he arose and went. See, I like that. I like that following right after God telling somebody to do something, and following right after that, they go and do it. There's not that reluctance. There's not that thinking about it. There's that yes, and going and doing. And so he goes down and he meets this Ethiopian ambassador, and who was the highest guy in the Ethiopian government, and he was there and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading out of the book of Isaiah, the prophet, in a particular scripture. And so he comes up to him. The Spirit then says, so we got the angel and we got the Spirit working. And the Spirit said, go and join yourself to him. So he goes and joins himself to him. Now that's the kind of obedience I need to have. Don't think about it. Just do it, Chuck. And the truth of the matter is, the less I think about it, the better it is. Amen. God says, go do this. Go do it. Go do it. Amen. I just want to be in that place to where my obedience is that quick, right on the heels of what he says to me that I do. Amen? Is it always that quick? No. It's not. But we're working on that. Amen? We're working on it. So he goes down, sits beside him, and the guy's reading there in Isaiah, and he says, you know, how am I going to know this? What's going on here unless somebody shares with me? And so it says there that he begins, I think, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, I like that because this showed something. Not only was the man in tune with the angelic world and the Holy Spirit in speaking to him, this was also a person of the Word of God. You know, obviously, he just didn't go to church. You know, Philip was part of that seven chosen as the first deacons in the church, of which Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church, was a part of that group. You remember that. And then later we see him, he becomes Philip the evangelist, actually gets a fivefold ministry call, and he's living somewhere, because I can't remember where it is now. He's living somewhere, you know, and he has four daughters who prophesy. And so that's kind of an interesting process to watch how, you know, you start off, a deacon's responsibility. It's not a governing responsibility. It's a labor responsibility. He gave them an assignment, the apostles did, gave them assignment, and they went and executed faithfully that assignment, and then that assignment was over until another one came up. Amen? They weren't governing anything. They were doing what was necessary. And so moving from a servant's position, which is all our postures in the kingdom of God, to serving, he moved, you know, into that of an evangelist and fivefold minister. Amen? Okay, so begins preaching. And I like what he knew the word so well, he could start where this guy was at. And that's what we have to do, friends, when we're ministering to other people. We have to start where they're at, not where we want to take them. You with me on that? We have to start where they're at. And, you know, we need to know the word of God. If they're in Obadiah, God's got him, you know, in Obadiah. You need to know about Obadiah and how that links to Jesus. And you're not going to get that just as a passive glancing of the Word of God, or when you get in crisis looking for a word of hope. The Bible has to become a friend to you, a great friend to you. Okay, so anyway, so he then says, and he went their way in the chariot, and he says, oh, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he said, well, if you believe with your heart, then you may. Once again, baptism doesn't save anybody. Jesus saves. And after that, water baptism then is the signifying of that birth that took place in the person's life, public address of that. Okay, so we have that in chapter 9. Chapter 9, let's see, Paul's conversion. Paul was a great persecutor of the church, very, very religious, thought he was doing God's will. And it says that he was on the way near Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light about him from heaven, and he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And to his amazement, I am Jesus whom you've been persecuting. Don't you think that kind of woke him up a bit? And he trembled and was astonished. Lord, what would you have me to do? Arise and go to the city, and it will be told you what you need to do. And the men that went with him. And Saul arose from the earth with his eyes were open, but he couldn't see, and he saw no man. But they led him by hand, brought him to Damascus. And 3 days he was there without sight, neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple, not an angel, not a voice, but there was a disciple that was there. And Lord said to him in a vision, Behold, I'm the Lord. Arise and go into the street that's called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. He has seen a vision of man and Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard many, many things of this man, how much evil he's done to the saints. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. The Lord said, go your way, for he's chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went his way. Did he question? Yeah. Why? Because there was the possibility that his life was in danger at that. But he went anyway at the command of the Lord. And so he goes, and he putting his hand on Saul, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus had appeared in thee in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately they fell from his eyes like scales. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Once again, the communication, the responsibility of the communication was one believer unto another potential believer. Hallelujah. He even talks about this a little bit in Acts chapter 22 when he rehearses this once again. How about Acts 16, just real quick? Well, this is, I think we start in 16:16. This is where Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. Now, that's not exactly something I would enjoy, not something I'm enlisting myself for. But the potential for that is always there. There's countries that I've been into that if you preached in the streets, if you said a certain thing, I mean, you could be put in jail. And so this is a bold witness. And so they were captured. They were beaten with many stripes. Not something I would enjoy. Hello? Not something I'm asking for. And then, and then on top of that, they're thrown in and locked in prison. Then the scripture says that there was a great earthquake that took place. The whole place shook. The doors opened up. The bounds, that which was binding everyone there, was then loosened. And the keeper became extremely afraid, because it was his responsibility to guard, and it was his life that's going to be on the line if those prisoners had escaped. And so he took out his sword, was about to do himself in, and instead, Paul yells out and says, hey, we're still here. He didn't leave. He could have left, but he didn't leave. And at that, the guy bows down and says this to him, what must I do to be saved? They were strategically placed not in circumstances any of us would want. But the outcome of that was another human being and his entire family came into the kingdom of God that day. So there's events that could take place in our lives, none of which we want. We're not praying for. We're probably praying for the avoidance of those things. And things can happen in our lives that position us before other people that may need to hear the gospel. And that's just part of the plan. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of a couple of people who... in my life, who mounted up the courage to talk to me about Jesus. They would, I'm sure they thought they would not be met with courteous language. I was just, that was an area that I kept away from. Yeah, even in my own heart, I acknowledged that it was there, but kept trying to bury it and tuck it away and get it out of the way because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do with it. That area that was sensitive to God, that's in every human being because we came from Him. Amen. We're in His image. That DNA is in there and working in there. Because of the fall, all of this other confusion has taken place. But I could think of one friend in particular who I was waiting to came over to his house and go out with his brother and do ungodly things. And I was ungodly, so what would you expect me to do but ungodly things? And he sat there. He was one of my best friends, probably in the top three of my friends. And he ventured. He'd gotten saved in a period of that time. Within a couple of months there, and he sat down and he's put a seed in me, and I am greatly appreciative of the courage that took to do that. Fortunately, he found me at an agreeable moment, so it wasn't a bad scene. I just think God had prepared that. Did he see me get born again, fall to the ground, and what must I do to be saved? Chuck me in the bathtub? No, that didn't happen. It took a little more working of the Holy Spirit, you know, in my life. Within, I'm going to say 4 months, that did happen. All starting with an initial seed that somebody dared to put forth. Amen? I think, you know, this is the primary way the kingdom of God has always grown. It's with individuals sharing their faith. I think we have to realize that that's one of the primary reasons that we're here. We're here for the salvation of those yet to be saved. It would be easy for God to snap His finger and take us all home. He loved to have us all there. But there would be no witnesses. There'd be no living testimony of those who weren't, who now are. And able to share that with somebody else about their life. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm encouraged. You know, we're praying. We've increased our prayer life here at the church on Tuesdays and then alternating Wednesdays. And hopefully we're increasing our prayer lives at home. You know, I'm not asking to sit around 6 hours a day, but 6 minutes might work pretty good, you know. And, if we got everybody 6 minutes a day, I think we might be doing a lot more effort than we're currently doing. So, you know, if we're praying and we're doing that, we're asking God for a strategy into reaching out to the community, our plan to reach out into the community. And at some point, we're going to have to realize this is the plan. You know, if He tells us to build a jungle gym so kids can swing on it and we preach to them at that, okay, that's great. We could do that. We could do all that. But it's all going to boil down to the responsibility that each of us has in being prepared to share our faith. I know that petrifies some people. I know, oh my God, even it's difficult for some people even to talk to other people, more or less share their faith. But this is the majority of the way the gospel is conveyed. Yes, thousands of people got saved at Billy Graham. Amen? They get saved. That was one of the great things. Suzanne and I sing in Catherine Kuhlman Crusades there in the early 70s. And we saw a lot of fantastic healings. But what you never saw on TV, because time wouldn't allow it, was hundreds and hundreds of people who'd come up after that to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yeah, so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Crusaders. I'm thankful for those, Reinhard Bonnke's and Benny Hinn's and Carlos Anacondia's down south, and a lot of other thousands and thousands of men and women who are out preaching the gospel, you know, in big campaigns. But I'm going to suggest to you that some of those were the reaping off the seed that was sown by somebody else. Amen? And Billy Graham's, because I worked in that, I was supervisor in that, you know, we were praying, our church was praying along with the hundreds of churches that were participating in that. And our congregation was moving forward and inviting people to this. You know, hey, we're going to go hear Billy Graham. You know, everybody knew Billy Graham. And so, you know, people tell you yes or no, whatever. Okay, well, you know, whatever it is. But I'm going to say to you, even at these gigantic crusades, somebody had been planting some seeds along the way. Amen? And he got to reap that. He got to reap that. There's nothing complicated about this. About this preaching Jesus. There's nothing, you know, difficult about that. You know, if you don't have a plan on how to do that, we could certainly, train you in that, willing to do that. But everybody has a testimony. You know, mine's fairly dramatic. Suzanne's kind of boring. Can I say? She was a kid raised in the church, and one day the preacher said something, and she came down and accepted Jesus. Me, I got to go through all kinds of crud. Through the ringer before finally I gave up my heart to him. Amen? So we're all very different in our way, but we came through the same gospel, the same person. Hallelujah. And I think we need to be prepared to share our faith. I don't think there's anything wrong with us praying and saying, God, today show me somebody I can share my faith. Robert Dowdy Sr., a good friend of mine, pastor, down in Galveston, Texas, he started Church of Living God down there. He was Baptist, and he got spirit-filled, and so they asked him to leave, and he started Church of Living God. Well, when he started that, he'd go out every day. He'd get up. He'd go to his office, wherever that was. I think it was in his home at that time. And he'd go out, and he'd say, I'm not coming back until I at least tell one person about Jesus today. And I think he even made it more specific, that one person gets born again. He wasn't coming home. That's pretty determined. Pretty determined. And he told me every day the Lord would give him some opportunity. So I think it's more of the availability that we make of ourselves to the Lord to be used. If you just, you know, want your life and you just want to enjoy the things of God, that's okay. You go and do that if that's what you want to do. I want to be a kingdom expander. I feel an obligation to do for others what was done for me. Somebody to share their faith with me. I feel that obligation. Amen? So, praise God. And you say, well, isn't that what we pay you for? You know, you're the pastor. Well, you don't pay me enough. But anyway, it's actually not. According to Scripture, our job is to train you to do the work of ministry. That's the, according to Ephesians 4:11, the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are given for the perfecting and the maturing of the body of Christ, that they in turn will go and do the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Sure, you know, we have people come here, and we're preaching the gospel. We believe people are going to, you know, receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But that doesn't relinquish our personal responsibility. I love it when y'all get excited like this. I really do. It's a challenge to me. Next week, maybe I'll bring something more joyful for you. But this is what we got today. I don't care what strategy we get, it's going to boil down to us. It'll boil down to us. Hallelujah. And the day that we turn in our hearts and we say to God, God, lead me to somebody. Lead me to somebody. Now, are we doing this to build our congregation? Absolutely not. We're kingdom builders. Amen? If they come here, that's great. If they go somewhere else, that's great. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not to build this particular location up. It's to build the kingdom of God up. I've talked to people, never saw them again. I'm on plane, and they get born again. I they're going back to their countries, wherever that is. They're not always going to go to church where I'm at. So we're not confining ourselves to that. We have a bigger vision of that. Hallelujah. If everybody we minister to who goes next door and they get double bigger than they are now and cause us even more traffic problems, okay. Did you like that, Eddie? Hallelujah. Okay, so you got the point, right? Once again, we don't want to just keep pounding and all that. It's just a simple thing. I think we are accountable. We need to accept the accountability of that to realize that our position is, hey, we're the messengers. In fact, the word for angel is the word messenger, which has both an angelic side to that and a human side to that. Amen? Let's stand. If you have seen this man, call this number. I just find that fantastic. Don't you? I just thought, how genius to take that. And yes, we've seen him. Tell me, who is this guy? Jesus, it's not like he said anything to him. There wasn't like any, words he said to him. He just appeared to him. And I would kind of think if Jesus appears to you, it has an effect on you. Amen. This is the glorified king, not the earthly one that was here. This is the one who's been with the Father and is with the Father. I would think he'd be greatly impressive. And so even amidst all that, God's working all over this planet. We know that the accumulation of end time, there's a great harvest that's going to come in. Amen? And we want to be part of those reapers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the ball's always in your own court, what you and I do about things. So I give it to you. Do with it whatever conviction God has with it before you, okay? Father, we give you thanks today, Lord, and I personally acknowledge, Lord, I know the accountability. I want others to have the opportunity that I had. That what others did for me, I also, Lord God, need to position myself to do for others. And so, Lord, we are the messengers. We are the ones who have the message born again into us. We're the ones with the testimony. Whether it's a simple going down the aisle or some kind of big thing that took place makes no difference. It's the same Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we'd rise up in courage and we'd go forth. I like it, Lord. And they were praying together, and the place where they were praying was shaken and shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went forth in boldness, preaching the Word of God. This is the end of what we're asking, Lord God. Move in our hearts so that the end of that is we're out there ministering the gospel, Father. We ask your blessings, Father, upon everyone here. Peace of God to be upon them. The comfort of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. Lord, collectively, we speak against a spirit of infirmity that's been attacking our house and members of this house. And Lord God, we say in Jesus' name, you'll release. You'll be released in Jesus' name. We rebuke you in Jesus' name corporately. You'll not find a place. Not find a place amongst those in our house. Thank you, Father, for the many healings that you've done. to restore us, Lord God, and healings we're still believing for and lifting up on a daily basis, my God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.